Wow, good looking group out there. The weather can't quite make up its mind yet, can it? I don't know how it's been here in East Texas, but in Fort Worth, where I live, we'll get chilly, need jackets, and then we're sweating. And it's just kind of bipolar weather. I guess that just comes with the territory, doesn't it? It's great to be back with you, and I do have a message I feel like the Lord put on my heart for the congregation. And the title of the message, I've labeled it, He Changes Everything. And if you want to turn in your Bibles, it's going to come up on the screen as well. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This has become one of my favorite scriptures. In fact, I visit this passage every January. And the Lord speaks something to me out of this passage every year that I didn't see before. But let's just look at what the scripture says before we get going too much further. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. This is a great story. It unfolds. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood, and this is talking about Jesus, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." That's quite a response, isn't it? "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. This is a passage that demonstrates something very significant about Jesus. You need to understand that if there were a fishing show network back in the day that this was written, Simon Peter would have had his own show. He was a professional fisherman. I've been fishing, but I am not a fisherman. Okay? I'm really not. I have fished, but I'm not a fisherman. You probably know someone who is a fisherman. They eat, breathe, sleep, fishing. That's what they want to do. And, you know, I know some people like that. That's not me. But Peter, Simon Peter, was a fisherman. This is what he did for a living. And he has had a very frustrating evening. He's pulled out all of his tricks. He's done everything he knows to do. He's worked all night long. Nothing to show for it. So as morning is breaking, he's got the boat pulled in. He's decided, "I'm done. I'm going to wash the nets and put them away. Chalk it up to another day where we didn't bring in a catch." Okay? So the interesting thing here, we can all probably relate a little bit to the frustration of working really hard, doing everything we know to do, and it's still not working. Anybody else other than me experience that? That makes me feel better. Because you know what? It happens sometimes in life, doesn't it? We do everything we know to do. We're doing everything we've been told and everything we've learned. We're doing it all, but it's not quite working. That's Simon Peter in this account. That's what's happened. And he came to a place where Jesus comes into the situation. And Jesus shows up, and he picks Simon's boat, and he asks him, "Can you push out just a little bit, just far enough to where the water will help amplify my voice and I can teach the people?" And that's what he does. Now, I want to share with you three things about this thing about Jesus changing everything. Here's the first one. His presence with us. His presence with us in the midst of the boat, in the boat. Whatever the boat is, he's in it with us. Our awareness of him being in it with us. This is where things begin to change in the story. Now, we know that Jesus comes and gets in the boat, and first thing he did was he basically presented a request. So when we say his presence with us, it means that we're going to accept his request because he wants to be in whatever it is we're involved in. So he shows up and says, will you allow me to do something? So Simon Peter has a decision to make. I've worked all night. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. But here's Jesus and all these crowds of people. He probably just wanted to go home and go to bed. So he had a choice to make. Will I accept the request? Will I allow Jesus to use my boat as his platform? And we find in the story that Simon Peter agrees. And so that means another thing is involved in that, and that's recognizing our need. Accepting his request, but also recognizing our need. We need something. We've done everything we know to do. It's not working. Here's the opportunity. Here's Jesus. We accept his request because we recognize it can't get any worse. Right? Have you had one of those days? You ever had those days? It's like, well, you know, I don't have a whole lot of faith, but I mean, it can't get any worse than this. But you know, the scripture tells us it doesn't require a lot of faith. Just a little faith produces a lot. And so even when we're at that point in a situation, here's something that's important for you to recognize, that why this was significant for Simon Peter. This boat wasn't just a boat. This boat represented Simon Peter's identity. He was a fisherman. His income, it's how he fed his family. And his security. His identity, income, and security. That's what the boat represented. And Jesus said, will you let me come aboard? Will you let me come and be present with your identity, who you think you are and who you see yourself as? Will you let me come in to the boat in the area of your income and your sense of being secure and security? Do you see how significant an encounter this is for Simon Peter? It's easy to just look at it and say, it's just another fishing story. And we've all heard fishing stories, right? The one that got away, all that. Yeah, we've all heard the fishing stories. This is not just another fish story. This is a significant thing that happened. Let me tell you something. The thing that really occurs when Jesus starts talking is what the second thing is. It's not just his presence with us, it's his word in us. Simon Peter sat there and listened while Jesus, the word, shared the word with the multitude. And something happens while he's sitting there. Listen, he's on the boat. He can't go anywhere. It's his boat. He's agreed and allowed Jesus to come on. Now it's Jesus' platform, and he begins to speak, and he starts teaching. And two things happen here. First, his teaching reveals his heart. Simon Peter hears what Jesus has to say, and Jesus' heart is revealed to Simon Peter. Something revelatory occurs, and he says, this is not just some other dude who interrupted a frustrating day. There is something about this man that these people want to hear. And he listens. And he starts to receive the word. See, Jesus, when he comes into the boat, it's his presence with us, but it's also his word in us. Once we hear what he has to say and we're actually hearing it, here's something sometimes we misunderstand about Scripture. If we're not careful, we will worship this book. But there's nothing sacred about this leather and paper that I'm holding. It's the words that they contain, and it's when those words on these pages get inside of me, that's what makes the difference. It's not what I memorize, it's what gets internalized. I hope I remember to say that again the next service. That kind of sounded good. Yeah, that's not bad. I'll just edit my notes here. I'm just kidding. I'll tell you this. If you're in the midst of some type of spiritual warfare or struggle, the enemy is not afraid of this book. He is terrified of the parts of this book that have become a part of you. In the armor listed in Ephesians, it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is literally talking about not the things written on these pages, but the things written on our hearts. That's the weapon. So it's not just his presence with us, which he has promised, by the way. It's his Word in us. So it revealed his heart. But what does it do as a result of that? It changes ours. When he speaks, it reveals his heart. When we hear what his heart truly is, it changes our hearts. See, some of us grew up in church. Some of us grew up under a religious system. Some of us grew up under a works mentality and performance-based acceptance. Some of us grew up in mean, mean churches. When I told my father at the age of 17 that I was going to become a minister, he looked at me, shook his head, and he said, "Son, are you sure that's what you want to do?" I said, "Yeah, Dad, that's what I'm going to do." He goes, "Church people, the meanest people I know." You know what? After 38 years, Dad was right. I've met some mean people in the church. I have. Haven't you? Yeah. There's no sign at the door mean people can't come in. It's a good thing, because we all can be mean sometimes, right? The issue is that our hearts get changed. It goes from, we recognize this is relational, not regulational. And that's something that happened because Simon Peter was a Jew, and he had all of these laws to keep, and he had all of this performance stuff to do. And as he hears Jesus speak, it reveals Jesus' heart, and it changes his. Because how we know it changes him is because after fishing all night long and getting nothing, when Jesus makes another request, "Hey, would you just launch on out to the deep? Let down your nets one more time for a catch." Now, you remember, they had been washing those nets. That means if I do this, I have to wash them again. Right? But Peter says something very significant. He says, "Lord, you know we fished all night. We've caught nothing." So he speaks the obvious. Simon Peter may be the first Captain Obvious. I don't know. "We've done this already. We've done it already. Didn't work." "Nevertheless," he says. That's a key phrase. Key word. "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." It doesn't make any sense to me. I've done everything I know how to do. I fished these waters. No catch. No catch. It doesn't make sense to my mind. I'm tired, but there's something about you in this boat with me. There's something about your words that I've heard that are now in me that I'm going to determine that you're not pranking me. You're not being a trickster with me. You're not yanking my chain and just kind of trying to embarrass me. You see, all of those things came into play. I've got to trust this man. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. What was the result? Abundant catch, more than he could deal with himself. And here's the thing I want to tell you about that. Obedience opens the door to opportunity. When we allow Jesus to come in to our identity, our income, and our security, and his presence now abides in those areas of our life, we're changed. When he begins to ask us through his word in us to do things, our obedience opens the door for a great opportunity. Amen. You got to remember, this was primarily a financial miracle. That's what it was. Whatever catch he had, that's how he got paid. And he had the catch of a lifetime. Now, here's the thing for you to ponder. The boat was the same. The water was the same. The fish were the same. Simon Peter was the same. The only difference between the abundant catch and the frustrating empty night was the presence of Jesus in the situation. That's the only difference. He changes everything. He changes everything. When we allow him in, when we embrace, and primarily it's about how aware are we that he's with us. It's the awareness, really. He's promised, I'm here. He's here with you. But there's something about you accepting his invitation to come into your situation, whatever it might be. Here's the third thing about this story. It's not just his presence with us and his word in us. It's also his blessing on our efforts. See, that's the whole point. Yeah, Peter was a fisherman. He knew what to do, and he knew how to do it. But there was something being demonstrated to him that was going to change his life forever. This was a destiny moment. His life would never again be the same. His blessing comes on our efforts when we believe. In other words, we trust him. We trust his motives. We trust that he has our best interest at heart. We trust that he represents what is our best possible outcome. When we believe, and then when we obey. There's something about the kingdom that is different than the world in which we live. In the kingdom, obedience equals success. Just let that sink in a second. In the world, performance and accumulation equal success. We show all kinds of things. Well, look at the car I drive. Look at the clothes I wear. Look at the home I live in. Look at the things that I have. This says I'm successful. But not in the kingdom, it doesn't. There's nothing wrong with those things, by the way. I mean, I've heard this phrase all my life, money, you know, can't buy you happiness. I don't know a lot of happy poor people either. Poverty doesn't buy you happiness either. There's nothing wrong with those things. There's nothing wrong with having those things. The problem is when those things have you. When they become the measure that you use to demonstrate that you think you are successful. You see, his blessing on our effort is key. I have found that when I'm dependent upon the Lord and I'm obedient and I do what he's asked me to do, much more gets accomplished than if I just tried to lean in and work harder. There's nothing wrong with working hard. We should work hard. But at the same time, it's not my working hard that I trust in. I don't come here today to speak to you thinking, well, I've practiced all my public speaking chops. I'm really good at this, and I'm just going to say what I think, and what I think is going to help these people. That's not true. Only if the Holy Spirit quickens the things that you're hearing today to your heart and they prompt action in you, will anything of eternal value occur today? Another way of looking at this with Peter. Now, you realize it wasn't just overwhelming his boat. He had to call for his partners, and he was overwhelming their boat. This was probably the greatest catch of fish he had ever seen in his entire life. And the revelation that he got in that was, this is a God man. He doesn't need to be around me. And he fell down. Here's a statement for you. Effort enhanced by favor exceeds expectations. That might even be tweetable. I don't know. Effort enhanced by favor exceeds expectations. It's always beyond. It always accomplishes more than just my effort on its own. He changes everything because this is what Jesus is after. He has walked into our lives. And I don't know what your boat is today. It might just be your life. Maybe you've never had a relationship with Jesus before. But he's here today. And the opportunity for you to invite him into your life is here. And he'll change everything. Maybe you are struggling in an area. There's a situation, a circumstance. It could be work-related. It could be family-related. It could be income-related. It could be anything. Jesus is here today, and he's waiting for you to accept him into that boat. And when he comes and you accept him, he's going to speak. He's going to do something from his word. His word is going to come into play. So his presence with us and his word in us produces his blessing on our efforts. It's interesting when you read through scripture how often you can find phrases like, and everything they do will be blessed. And it's all about this relational connection and this obedience to Jesus. I love this story. There's so much in it. Maybe today the Lord's saying, hey, I know you're tired in this area of your life, but if you'll trust me, if you'll just push out into the deep again and let down your net for a catch, and you're going to have to say, well, do I trust him? Do I trust his motives? I'm tired, but can I trust him? And when we come to that place where we're able to say, nevertheless. In other words, okay, I don't understand how doing this again is going to make a difference. But because he's asking, I'm deciding to trust him. At your word, I will let down the net. At your word, I will let down the net. That's what brings the blessing. Now I want to ask you a question. How can you experience this for yourself today? This kind of supernatural breakthrough, Pastor Tim talked about a breakthrough today. This kind of thing, can this really happen? Could God really do this in your life? If he came into your situation and you listened to his word and received his word and his blessing came upon your effort, could you see something as life-altering happen to you as Simon Peter? Yes, you can. Here's three things. Here's the first thing. Invite him into your boat. I never said I was smart. Pretty simple. God speaks to me very simply. I usually hear things like, Bill, stop it. He talks to us the way we understand, right? I get that. That doesn't offend me at all. I appreciate it, actually. Invite him into your situation, whatever that might be today. In fact, I'm going to ask you to do something. Why don't you just close your eyes right now, or just look down or whatever, where you're not being distracted by the people around you. And just, what situation do you need to invite His presence into today? You might say it, I choose to become aware of Your presence with me in this situation today. Here's the second thing. Hear and receive His word. Listen. The scripture says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Position yourself through awareness, through worship and time, drawing close, and listen and hear and receive the direction He can give out of His written word, speaking to you as well as His inner promptings through the Holy Spirit. And listen, hear, and receive. In fact, just listen right now. Just listen. Be open to what He might have to share with you. And here's a third thing. Decide to obey. Decide to act on what He's revealing to you. Decide to follow through and to do. And then receive the blessing that comes with that.
Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked Him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from Him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from Him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God Himself is reaching down His hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from Him and He knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask You to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me, heal me, change me, and give myself to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. highridgelv.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.